Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
We're going to look in the Bible story, how people live for the honor of God. We look at the Bible story. So today I'm going to show you different stories in the Bible that mention about the honor of God. And I believe that after you listen to this kind of teaching for a while, your life is going to be changed. You will live your life in such an honorable way and give honor to the Lord. And you will carry the honor or the glory of God around you. How many people know that the word glory and the word honor have similar meaning? The word glory means weighty. The word kabod in the Hebrew language means weighty presence of God. So when we say, may the glory of God be with you, mean the thick presence or the heavy, weighty presence of God be with you. And when the presence of God is with you, there's nothing can touch you, because He is the God of protection, the God of healing, the God of love and mercy and power, everything good about Him. And His honor will come with Him to be with you. I pray that all of us will live in the glory of God all the time. These few days, I pray to God that, God, I want to walk like Jesus. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I want to be the man that follows the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the glory of God all the days of my life. I love the glory of God. But in order to have the glory of God, we need to live a life of honor. The book 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Everyone say with me, if I honor God, God will honor me. Amen. So we're going to look in the Bible story here, how people honor God and how we honor the things of God. We can learn from all this story. And it's amazing when you study all these passages, you will understand more about honor. I mentioned already 4 ways to show honor. Number one, how to refer, how you talk about people, how you call people. And number two, you yield or defer to people. You yield to that person. You respect that person. And number three, you prefer, you give something better to that person. And the last one, we talk about confer or to give. We give valuable things to the person. Now we're going to look at one example how a person honored the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. This is the woman in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet, and anointed them with the fragrant oil. This is an amazing story of how a person honored the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came to a house of a Pharisee. Jesus and his disciple were having meal together. This lady walked in with an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, very good smell. And you need to understand that this oil was very expensive, that is very valuable to her. She walked into the room. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she needed the forgiveness of God. She knew that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So she wanted to honor him. She came in and kissed his feet and also washed his feet with her tears and with her hair, and then poured the oil, the fragrant oil, on his feet and on his body. How many people have used perfume? When you put the perfume on your body, how long will it last? How many days? Maybe a few hours. So after you put perfume on you, a few hours later, the fragrant odor will go away. The same thing here. When she put that expensive oil on his body, on his feet, it will not last that long. It will go away. The disciple or his team saw that. And at that time, they did not have the spiritual understanding. One thing that I pray for our members all the time, including myself and my family, is that our members will have the spiritual eyes to see the things of God. You know, we live in the flesh, but we should have the eyes of the Spirit that will see things from the spiritual point of view or from the heavenly point of view. The disciple at that time did not see it. They did not see, they did not have a spiritual eyes to understand the spiritual meaning of what that lady was doing. They even rebuked her. Get out of here. Don't bother him. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Don't bother her. Because she anointed me for the preparation of my burial. And she has done a good thing. And Judas Iscariot, who carried the money back, said, no, no, this is what a waste. We should sell this oil and get a lot of money and give to the poor. In fact, he didn't care for the poor. He just wanted money. People can say whatever they say, but in fact, you need to look at the heart. This lady was willing to pour very expensive perfume and disappear within a few hours. Sound like a waste. Man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. In the eyes of the natural man, this is a waste. But in the eyes of God, this is an honor. And Jesus honored her. Jesus said to the disciple that everywhere the gospel is preached, her name or her action shall be mentioned in the message. Is that honor? Can you imagine 2,000 years ago, the action of this lady is still preached in Seattle. People talk about her. Everyone say, if I not honor God, God will honor me. This lady honor God. My dear brothers and sisters, some people think that we should not do two things at the same time. Some people really focusing on helping the poor, and we're going to do that at the end of the service. We're going to have love offering to help the people who got into trouble with the flood in Uganda. We need to help the poor. We need to help the needy. But at the same time, we need to understand that the Bible also teaches us to honor the anointing or honor the things of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was 100% man. He was born from a womb, from a woman. He was 100% man. But at the same time, He was 100% God. And He has an anointing in Him without measure. Unlimited anointing. This woman come to honor the anointing of God in his life. So we need to honor the anointing in people's life. A lot of people have a very unrealistic thinking about anointed men and women. They think that I can honor only those who are perfect and never make mistake. In fact, if you come and live with me in my house for a while, you're going to find a lot of mistakes in me and weaknesses in me. I thank God for my weaknesses so that I can stay humble. If I know everything, if I am capable of everything, I will not need anybody and I will be prideful. And the same thing if you get to know any anointed servant of God in the world, in the US, in other countries, you're going to find some weaknesses. And some people think this way, I'm not going to honor the man and the woman of God until they become perfect. So a lot of times they miss the opportunity because when these people are still alive, they don't honor them, they don't give to them. And what happened after they die is too late. We need to honor the man and the woman of God, anointed men and women of God. In the body of Christ, God still use certain people to have certain higher anointing to help the sheep of God, the flock of God. And we need to honor these people. A couple of years ago, I heard that one of the anointed men in the body of Christ got into financial trouble. The Lord spoke to me, we need to help this man. So I talked to eldership, and we said, we're going to honor this man. He has been serving God for more than 30 years, preaching the gospel in 82 countries. We need to honor this man. So we help him. Our church help him to pay his debt off, to help him. We honor the man of God. We honor the anointing of God. I went to California 2 years ago to be in a revival meeting. And the man of God walked in. I saw his weaknesses and the Lord talked to me. Son, don't criticize this man. Look through the veil of his flesh and see the anointing in him. You are not honoring the flesh there. You are not honoring the man there, but you are honoring the anointing in the man. And that's what happened to this woman. She anointed and she honored the anointed man of God named Jesus Christ. So it's good to honor the man and the woman of God. It's good to also give to the poor. Amen. One of the reasons that people are not willing to honor or give to anybody because of the selfishness and because of unbelief. People who dare not give are not living in faith. But if you have faith, you're willing to give. After living in this world for more than 50 years now, I just discovered with my own eyes that there are a lot of demons in the world and there are a lot of crazy people in this world. Only last week alone, I heard that 4 young people, about 40 to 50 years old, are dying of cancer in this city. One of my patient's relative, another person that the neighbor of our member or something. There are demons out there. There are crazy people out there. And the demon and these crazy people will try to teach you to defy and dishonor God. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to all this, read all this book and listen to all this show in the TV that teach you to defy and to dishonor the things of God. We need to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says because we are God's people. Amen. Don't listen to the world. Another story we're going to learn beside this woman is in 2 Kings. I don't know why so many women in the Bible are honorable people than men. So 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 8 to 12 talking about another woman. 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 to 12. Now it happened one day that Elisha was the man of God at that time. He was a prophet. He was a man with double portion of anointing of Elijah. Went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Again, talk about woman again. And she persuaded him to eat some food. You notice the word persuaded. This woman saw the anointing in this man. She knows that this man is a holy, godly man of heaven. He was specifically called by God, living a holy life. This woman did not come to Elisha and say, Elisha, if you have time, come. If you have free time, come. Whatever will be, will be. She didn't do that. She came to him and persuaded, could you please come to my house? Could you please spend time in my house? Could you please come by and eat dinner with me? She really won the honor of God. So she put, everyone say persuaded. The more anointing you have, the busier you are. The more busier you are. One time I asked God, give me more anointing. And God asked me, are you sure? I said, why? Two reasons. He said, number one, are you ready for persecution and rejection? Two, are you ready to be busy? I said, good questions. How many people want more anointing? You want more anointing? Are you ready for persecution? Are you ready to be busy and have a lot of work to do? Because the more given, the more required. Is that right? You may have to travel a lot. You may have to fly and sleep in the hotel room instead of spending time in your own house because of the anointing of God. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be wherever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. This woman recognized the honor of God, or the glory of God, or the anointing of God in this man named Elisha. This woman is a notable woman, not only that she was well-to-do financially, but in the sense she was an honorable woman. How many people want to be an honorable woman and man of God? Okay, this is what we learn from this story. This woman is honorable. She is full of honor. Honor recognizes honor. When you are full of honor inside your heart, you will be able to see the honor of another person. And you recognize and you want to draw that honor to you or the anointing to you. Honor recognizes honor. Honor draws honor. And this is true. And it happened to me personally. Anytime people began to honor the anointing in my life, the Holy Spirit inside me just bubbling inside. Go there. Go to that person's home. Keep going back there. Keep calling that person. Going back to that meeting because they are hungry. They honor you. They honor the anointing in you. So honor draws honor. Honor recognizes honor. And I pray that you will all will be people of honor. Amen. Do you know that what moved King David to stand before Goliath was not only courage or braveness? There are many outcasts out there in society who are so brave and so courageous to do bad thing, to do defiling thing and dishonorable thing. No, it's not about courage alone. The thing that moved the youth David at that time was not only courage, but the honor of God. He went out to meet Goliath because he wanted to protect the honor of God. He moved out into the field to fight Goliath because of the honor of God. Amen. Honor calls to honor. Honor draws honor. This woman was an honorable woman. She built a house. She built a room. She prepared the furniture, a table. She fed this man every time she came. He came into the city. And she really seek the honor of God. And the honor of God was drawn to her house. Every time Elisha came by, he would stop there. She make room for honor. She was willing to give. She was willing to show honor by giving and preparing something for the man of God. When we see the value of anointing, when we see the value of the things of God, behind the veil of the flesh, we begin to honor that anointing. Elisha came to her home every time. This is the same principle with the Holy Spirit. I do not think that I have enough Holy Spirit in me. In fact, when I heard about these four people dying of cancer, when I see people get sick, I see a lot of problem in society here. It more even pushed me to seek the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of these days, the member of this church, when you go to heaven, you're going to thank God for the kind of pastor I am, that I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Because one day you go to heaven and you see that some of your friends died of cancer, but you still live a long life to the old age. Because every Sunday, we kick demon out of you. We kick curses out of you, bondage out of you, chain out of you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Even though people may not understand what I'm doing, but because I love you so much that I don't want any demon to be around you. In fact, I mentioned to Pastor Da this morning, Da, I have a choice to make. The choice is this. I know that if any person who comes to this church don't want to take serious about growing and change and become like Christ and take holiness, they will not be able to stay in this church. And not because they're bad people, but because I move in the Holy Spirit. And every time I move in the Holy Spirit and lay hand on people, you know who get upset? The devil or demon inside of them. And the first thing they hear in their ear, get out of here as soon as possible. Don't stay in this church. This is weird. This is too much. Go to just traditional church. You know what? Demon doesn't want to leave. So they're afraid of me. They're afraid of the anointing. So only people who can stay in this church are those who are really serious about moving on with God. Otherwise, they're afraid. The demon will be afraid. Amen. But I think those people are coming. Those people who are serious about the kingdom of God like you and me. Let's turn to each other and point to each other and say, you are serious about God. You want to change. Amen. What I try to come to about the fire of God, the anointing is this. If Elisha treated this woman by feel like, I want to go there to her home to be with her because she draw the honor and anointing from him. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you honor the Holy Spirit, if you are hungry for the Holy Spirit, if you really see the value of the anointing and the fire of God, the more you honor, the more you see the value, the more you want him, the more he's going to show up. And the more he's going to come stronger and stronger because you honor him. When I went to a revival meeting, and I see, yesterday my daughter said to her friend that you need to go with my dad sometime to have some revival meeting. How people are hungry for God. And I see it. I mean, I experience it. When people come so hungry for the anointing, for the fire of God, I feel the fire of God jump over my hand. Like when I just reach like this, I feel the fire, the heat just come out of my hand because the hunger is in that person so strong that the Holy Spirit say, I want to jump into you right now, the anointing. So it's about the hunger, how much you want him, how desperate, how much hungry, how much honor you want to honor the anointing of God. The more the Holy Spirit is going to show up. My God and your God is not respecter of people. He wants to bless everyone. He wants to touch everybody. He can do anything for anybody in the same way. But the difference is this. How much you want to honor him. How much you draw him. How much you really recognize him. How much you are hungry for him. The more you honor and the more you're hungry for him, the more he's going to touch you and the more he's going to come to you. And that is the way God is working. Amen. I want to stir you up today. Be hungry for the thing of God all the days of your life. Honor him all the days of your life. Amen. This woman and her husband honor the man of God. And one day, out of the blue, God spoke to Elisha. I could not stand anymore. God is bound to follow his promise. God is compelled to do something for her. You know, understand that God never breaks his promise. He said, if you honor me, I honor you. This woman honored the man of God. Whatever she did to Elisha, she did to God himself. You remember one time Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Paul said, I never persecute you. But Jesus, you did this to them, you did to me. So the same thing, she did it to Elisha. God could not stand anymore. God said, Elisha, bless her. So God wanted to do something for her. He called her in and asked her, what can I do for you? And the woman say, "Oh, I have nothing. I don't have any need. I'm rich. I have everything." But the servant say, "She did not have a child. She was barren." What happened 1 year later? She got pregnant. She got a child. God did something for her. How many people want God to do something for you? I like that. I want God to do something for me. If you want God to do something for you, if you want God to be bound to do something for you, to be compelled to do something for you, you need to honor God and honor the things of God. And the story is not done yet. This woman got a lot of blessing because she honored the anointing of God. After that, her son, I believe, according to what I read the Bible, I think he might have some kind of aneurysm or AVM, arterial venous malformation. He dropped dead. Maybe the vessel break in his brain or something when he was young. Usually the sudden death in a young person with headache usually have some vascular abnormality in the head. He dropped dead. Elisha raised him up. Second blessing. Raised her son from the dead. And not only that, the third blessing. You see, God honored those who honor him. Not only that, famine was coming into the land of Israel. Elisha got the message from God. You know the first person that Elisha told? This woman. He told the woman, "Hey, famine is coming. Get out of here." She and her family left town and lived in another land for many years and escaped and missed all the hardship in Israel. When the famine is over, that's the third blessing. Child, resurrection, and miss the famine. After the famine was over, the woman and her family wanted to come back to Israel again. But her home was taken by somebody because she was gone for a long time. God honored her again. You see, she honored God. God honored her. God set up something to happen that just at the right timing, she walked into town. Elisha was talking to the king. And Elisha, by the setup of God, he was talking about this woman in front of the king. Who that was woman that really honored me all the time. She put up, she fed me with food. She set up the room for me. And the king said, "Who is that woman?" And then she showed up at the same time. "This woman." And by the way, this woman want her home back. Her property back. I read the Bible to you. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying in 2 Kings chapter 8, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God," which means Elisha, "saying, 'Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done.' Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, 'My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life.' And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, 'Restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of her field, from the day that she left the land until now.'" She did not only get her home and land back. She get all the benefit during the 7 years of that land back to her as well. Let's give hand to God. How many people are convinced now that we need to live a life of honoring God? If we honor God, God will honor us and God is going to do something for us. Everyone say, "He is bound to bless me when I honor him." Amen. Honor the man of God. Honor the things of God. Honor the word of God. Honor the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's why when we come to church, don't come with a game and play a game in the church. Listen to the word carefully. Don't talk. Don't chit chat. When the Holy Spirit is moving, honor the Holy Spirit. Don't take the work of the Holy Spirit as just, oh, another one again. No, we honor. We need to really yield and honor the things of God. And God is going to do something for you supernaturally. Amen. Look at this, another story. How many people still okay? How many people want to listen to one more story? Maybe two more. A few more. A lot of story in the Bible. Okay, look at another story. I like it. Story of honor. Amen. I want to give the title of this sermon, Biblical Stories of Honor. 2 Samuel chapter 23, talking about the whole passage is about honor. Talking about the man of honor named King David. And the mighty men of David who were honorable people. If you read the story, you can see that these people really understood honor. You notice in the Bible about this group of people, David and mighty men of David. Everywhere they went, they never lost a battle. They have victory from place to place to place. Everywhere they went, they had victory. If you honor God, you stand up for the honor of God like King David. You stand up for the honor of God like this mighty man of David. Everywhere you go, you have victory. God will back you up. You will never lose. Everyone say victory. Victory after victory. Say it. Victory after victory. Look at the story, 2 Samuel chapter 23, 13 to 17. Then three of the 30 chief men, 30 mighty men of David, went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistine was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing. In other words, David was seeing something and just kind of thinking out loud with his mouth, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but pour it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. In this, not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy for their lives. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. This is a story of honor. At that time, King David was standing in his area, and he was looking to Bethlehem, and he saw a well. And he was thinking out loud, I think the water in that well must be very good. I like to drink it. When he was thinking out loud like that, the three mighty men heard about it. And these men want to honor this anointed man of God. What did they do? They have to go through the line of the enemy, the Philistines. They went through the line, went back in the line, got the water, came out again the second time through the line. I believe they have to fight quite a bit. They have to fight and kill people, and they try to get there to the well in order just to get water for the man to drink. One, done. Just one cup, done. But they risk their life because they honor the man of God. Amen? When you understand about honor, you will have victory. This man went into the line with victory. Only three men and the whole army of Philistines. And they went through and came back safely. They have victory because they stood firm for the honor of God. They came back. They came to King David. David, this is the water you want to drink. I believe at that time, tears well up in the eyes of David. And David said, I could not drink this. This is too valuable. This is too precious. This is equal to your blood. you were willing to die for me to get only this water. I cannot drink this. I'm going to pour this water and give to the Lord. David honor this man and honor the Lord. If it happened in the secular world today, if this happened in the carnal people today, people who don't understand the things of the Spirit, if this mighty man came back, if you are the boss, you are like King David, you will say, stupid. What are you doing? You stupid. You went through that to die for me to get this. Get out of here. Did David do that? No. He honored his men. He honored the things that this man do. Okay, look at another side of the story. If these three mighty men were carnal and did not understand honor, when David poured out the water into the ground to the Lord, these three mighty men would say, ha, 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 David, what are you doing? We risked your life for you and you did this, you despise us. But I'm not going to follow you anymore. I'm going to leave this church. You mean, David. Did this man do that? No. They stood there and honored the decision of David. Both sides understand the honor of God. David honored the men and honored God. And the men honored the man of God, King David, and understand about his heart. Amen? And that's why they had victory after victory. I want this to come back to this society. We have been bombarded. We have been trained by the secular world about how we treat each other and how we look at things from the natural. You know, there are so many good things in the world. Organization, good things. But we have to be careful that we are not thinking in a secular way. We need to think in the spiritual way, in the heavenly way, about honor, about loving people and honoring God. Amen? How about look at next story? Are you okay? Look at next story. That's the story about David and the mighty men honoring each other and honoring the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 24:18-23. And Gad came that day to David. Gad was the prophet. And said to him, go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded. The background of this story, David, at one point, was walking in the flesh. He said that, I want to really show off how many people follow me. He commanded to have census taken. And a lot of people warned him, don't do this, because the Lord never told you to do it. But he said, I want to know the number of my people. Pastor Dan and I like to sometimes listen to kind of country music in Thailand. When we were teenagers, we were young, we hate country music. We don't like to. For some reason, we get older, now we like country music of Thailand. Which is, it's kind of fun to listen to the country music. And yesterday I talked to Pastor Da. This country music singer, they sing, you know, they dance and sing, you know. Oh, so fun. You know, the song always uplifting. So they dance and sing. And then people will come and with the flower, put on their neck. And oh, people just, oh, so fun. People just love to see these people dance and sing. And we were watching. I talked to Pastor Da. Da, do you know, one thing that God spoke to me in my spirit is this. I'm not standing up on the stage here to draw people to me. I want people to go to Jesus. You notice one thing that I rarely come back and boast about any miracle that happened in the meeting wherever I went. In fact, I got email, I got people phone call all the time. Oh, that person healed, that person had miracle. The Lord spoke to me one time. He said that it's not about your reputation. You don't need to boast about what happened to them, because that is trying to build your own reputation. Just keep your mouth shut. Let me do the work. And they love God as enough. It's not about you. King David at that time for God. He want to build his own ministry. He want to get his name very famous. So he started to count the number. How many members do I have? How many people follow me? And the Lord was angry. The Lord punished him. A lot of people died because that one leader sinned against God. You have to be careful if you are a leader. If you sin, people follow you, can get into trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Scary. David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arauna went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. I stop here first. If you read the Bible or from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the people in the Bible did a lot of bowing and falling. From the book of Genesis, even one time Abraham, three strangers came into his home. Actually, those are angels. The one may be Jesus. One is Theophany. Jesus showed up with two angels. And the Bible says, Abraham bowed down. He bowed down and fell down. Isaac bowed down and fell down. John, in the book of Revelation, bowed down and fell down before Jesus. You may not like this culture. I like it. I like the culture of bowing down and falling down. But if you don't want to, I'm not going to force you. You can at least bow down in your heart. Bow down in your spirit. But for me, I love to bow down and fall down to the ground before the presence of God. Amen? Bowing down and falling down face to the ground. Then Arauna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? Oh, by the way, that action of bowing down is the action of honor. It means you yield to the anointing of the man of God named King David. And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seemed good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All this, O king, Arauna has given to the king for free. I add the word for free. Mean he going to give for free. And Arauna said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. This threshing floor is the same place that King Solomon built the temple of God. Arauna want to honor the king. He bowed down and said, I want to give for you for free. You see? The people in the Bible at that time know about honoring God and honoring one another. He knew that this threshing floor was the place of his business. He make money. The oxen, he make money. The yoke, he make money. He said, I give all of these things that I make money to the king to honor God. You can see here now, honoring is about giving. What valuable to you? This land, the oxen, the implements, the instrument, everything were very important to him because those are the things that he make money from. But he was willing to give those things to God and to King David in order to show honor. Look at what the king said in verse 24. Then the king said to Arauna, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offering to the Lord my God that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. King David tried to teach us a lesson here. King David tried to say to this man or the owner of the land that the value of the offering of the sacrifice is based on the value of the heart of the person who give. If I get this land from you free, I don't have to pay anything. I don't give legitimate offering to God because it's free. I don't have to pull out my wallet to give to something. I don't honor God. Everything is too free. He offered the top price, the top dollar, 50 shekels of silver. High price, the top price, not the lowest price. King David is a man of honor. Yes, he make mistake, but he's a man of honor. He said, if I'm going to give to God, I want to give whatever costs me, whatever valuable to me. I don't want any free thing to give to God. I want to pay for it so that this offering will be legitimate and will be in the before the eyes of God that I really honor him. And he did. He paid. And the plague was withdrawn. If you give something to God that doesn't cost you that much, doesn't hurt you, you may not really honor God. It's just a leftover. That's why many times God asks for your Isaac. I believe that Abraham and God, sometime in their relationship, they have a conversation. Lord, you did so many good things to me, Abraham prayed. Whatever I have is yours. I love you, Lord. I have faith in you, Jehovah, my God, my creator. And the Lord said, really? You really have faith in me? You really love me and you honor me? How about Isaac? Oh. He did not ask for a car, did not ask for a house, for money, for the flock. He asked for the most difficult thing that Abraham going to give up, his only son. Abraham honored God. He was willing to give to God what is best for his life. He took Isaac up to the mountain. He was ready to kill. And he honored God, and at the same time, he had faith that God can raise his son up from the dead. Because God promised already that from him and his offspring going to be ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, or the Christ. Did God ask you for Isaac? God asked me for Isaac a few times. The first time, one of my dreams is that I want to be a professor of university somewhere in the world, and I will have a lot of students. In fact, I just in the process of moving right now. So I tried to clean up my garage, and I went to all the drawer. When I was young, I gathered a lot of journals, and I wrote to a lot of journal writer to get the, we call reprint, because I want the original. Because I want to write a lot of journals, I want to be famous as a neurosurgeon, I want to be a professor somewhere in the world, in the, some prestige university. That's my dream. I want to be a prestige professor somewhere. I want to teach neurosurgery. Grab somebody's hand to teach how to cut open the brain. But 1988, God said, can you give that Isaac to me? You give up your dream and become a pastor. And I did. So in my garage yesterday, many papers went to the recycle bin. I pulled out, my hand was shaking. This is my dream. I throw it away in the garbage, in the recycled garbage. And they say, it's over. I'm not going to be a professor. I'm going to serve the Lord all the days of my life. I don't want this. And I believe God still asked me for Isaac. God asked my wife for Isaac too. And she is willing to. She told me this morning, we woke up. She said, we are willing to sell everything we have and serve God. And we don't care about property anymore. We don't care about anything anymore. We just want to serve God. Definitely, we are not dumb. We have to sell at the right timing, at the right price. We don't just get rid of it. Amen. God asked for Isaac. God may ask Isaac from you. Maybe your unbelieving boyfriend. Ah, now quiet. Isaac for you may be your unbelieving girlfriend. Maybe Isaac for you is a job somewhere that you cannot serve God. I believe when I graduated from University of Washington, I got offered a job in Florida and in Phoenix, Arizona. But I was running the church. I gave it up. I said, God, I'm going to stay here even no money. Isaac for me is a job at that time. Are you willing to honor God by giving up something that God asked you for? If you do, God can honor you back to give you better. But you need to make a decision to do that first. Our God is the honorable God. I'm going to end the sermon here. Actually, I still have a lot to share about story in the Bible, but I'll continue next time. There's so many stories in the Bible about honor. God is the honorable God. Do you know that God honors mankind so much? Think about it. We're so small in the universe. We're so vulnerable. We're so fragile. Not only that, we rebel against God. We curse God. We hate God before we became a Christian. But God still show the honor to us. How did he honor the world? Honor mankind, sinner like us. Sinner before we get saved. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. The Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God honor us first by giving us the best deal, the Son of the living God. Abraham gave up Isaac. God gave up his own son. His son died for us. He gave us the best. Can we give him the best of our life? And not only that, the Bible says not only he gave the son the best, I believe that all the property, all the money, all the banknote, anything in the world, all together in the world, is not as valuable as the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the most expensive thing in the whole world, that is the life of his own son. But not only that, he said, how much more I will give to you if you ask me. If he did not spare his son, he will give other things to you too. If he can give you the best, other things, easy, piece of cake. Why don't we honor God? God honor us first by giving us the best. Let us change. I want to encourage all of you. Honor God with your heart. Honor God with your words. Honor God with your actions. Every time you begin to have bad attitudes, thinking negative, repent as soon as possible. Anytime you start to hate your brother and sister, judge your brother and sister, you repent as soon as possible. Because that is not honorable. Because that is dishonorable. That you judge people and you attack people and hate people. You need to keep your heart pure and right to honor God. You need to watch your mouth, what you say, to honor God. And you need to watch your action. Amen. Do you think I'm a human being like you? Yes, I'm a human being. And sometimes I face some problem in my life or in the church and discouragement. I want to have a long face. I'm upset. But I decide to come up and smile up here. I decide to go everywhere and smile because I don't want my body language to cause dishonor to God. Your body language, your action, your words, your heart, honor God and God will honor you. Make that decision. Be nice to people. Talk nice to people. Don't be rude. Don't be prideful. Don't say bad words. Don't think negative against people. One day God spoke to me, you know, son, Christianity is simple. Love God and love people. How many people want to be in the ministry? Raise your hand up. How many people want to God to use you, anoint you a lot before you get into that so-called high anointing? Just get to the basic. Get to the basic. Love people. Because the ministry is about loving people. It's not about having any big meeting, any big organization. is about loving God's people and the unsaved. Amen. If I have to choose between loving people and having a big organization, I'm going to choose loving people. Because I want to honor God and please God. I'd rather choose that than my own reputation and have being a big kahuna. People put my name in the website and say, big guy, big preacher. I don't care. I want to love people. God is love. If you walk in love, you honor God. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us today. We love you, Lord. And we want to really honor you all the days of our life, Lord. Lord, we believe as we honor you, you honor us. If we stand up for the honor of God, you will give us victory. Lord, help us to repent today. Any wrong things in our life that causes you to be despised, to be misunderstood, help us to repent today. Lord, we want to crucify our flesh on the cross. We don't want our flesh anymore. We want to die to our flesh. We want to die to our old self, the way we grow up. But we want to have the life of God on the inside of us, Lord. Help us in this church, Father. Help us that we will walk in the Spirit and in honor all the days of our life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we end the service, I'd like to give opportunity for people who haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Or you may be listening to this teaching through the CD or in the podcast. I want to encourage you to believe in the God of honor. Give your life to Jesus. Jesus died for you. He paid a price for you to make you honorable people, to get rid of your sin and help you to walk in an honorable way. If you would like to accept Christ today, want to become a child of God, I want to give you opportunity. Pray with me. Follow my prayer. Bow your head down and close your eyes and pray. Pray out loud that God can hear you. Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness, Lord. Please forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You died on the cross to pay for my sin. And you were raised from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Be my Lord and Savior. From today on, I will walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give hand to those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Can you all stand up for a couple minutes? I'd like to bless all of you in prayer. Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to bless your people in this church. I ask you to put your hand upon them, bless them physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, family-wise, kids, everything they touch, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that there will be the people of the Word of God that love the Word. And they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and the fire of heaven all the days of their life, Father. Father, I pray for them right now that they shall be fruitful, they shall bring many souls into the kingdom of God and make disciples of all nations, Father. Lord Father, I pray that there will be honorable people that they know how to honor you and honor your things, your anointing, and the people of God. Father, we pray, Lord, that they shall be full of wisdom, full of faith, love, and hope. There shall be people who will turn the world upside down. There will be the people who will make the impact to this generation. For they were born for such a time as this. Father, I command in the name of Jesus Christ that the sickness and depression and disease and anything that doesn't belong to heaven must go away from them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Poverty go away. Debt resolve right now in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. And Lord, as you honor them, the world, their neighbors, their colleagues, their friends in the school will look at them and say, wow, God honor you. You are people of honor, Lord. I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.